No questions.
No questions.
Just me, huh? All right. One of the reasons that was given as to why a rig could not be placed on the platform on either platform was that that crosses some sort of line into a well intervention program, which is not included in the partial stay agreement. Is it legally possible for the parties of the partial stay agreement to be able to modify that partial stay agreement to allow for such a thing, and to then submit that modification of the partial stay agreement to the IBLA for approval?
Chair Dressler, yes, I believe that is legally possible.
All right. The reason I ask that question is because in some places in the petition and in the testimony, one of the reasons why they can't put a rig can't be put on the platforms to affect these repairs is that's given as beyond a condition beyond control is the partial stay agreement. Yet the partial stay agreement is not, the modification of the partial stay agreement is not beyond control of the parties involved here. It's simply something that they don't want to do. Now, that said, I believe that there are ways we can make findings here, but I have a problem using the partial stay agreement as included in any of these findings. It's an important document. It's allowed for a lot of work to be done, I think, and it's interesting as background, but I don't think it belongs anywhere in our findings. And that's why I asked that question of counsel. Just to be clear, are the past principles of Signal Hill and Pacific Offshore operators completely off the hook in this situation?
Chair Dressler, based on the information that I have, I think from a regulatory standpoint, they are not completely off the hook, but I don't have any information regarding their solvency or any other facts such as that.
Okay.
Oh, and you said the principals specifically, or just the companies themselves?
The individual, the people, the humans that created that corporation. I mean, it gets down to, like, if crimes are committed by a corporation, a person goes to jail. You can't put the corporation in jail. And so there's got to be a human ultimately responsible for this kind of stuff, or a number of humans.
Chair Dressler, generally there are legal ways to go after principals of a company, but that would likely require some analysis of alter ego or, you know, whether or not you could hold the principal liable for the actions of the company, I think would take a legal analysis.
Thank you. And I believe my question regarding ultimate responsibility has been answered. If the IBLA fines for ConocoPhillips.
This is Caitlin McNally from the district again. I did want to share that soon after Signal Hill and Pacific Offshore operators left the facility and relinquished everything back to Bessie, we did have outstanding violations. They were administrative violations for PUI and Signal Hill. We did try to reach out to them to get those closed out and settled, and we never got a response. We did try sending certified mail to various folks with the companies and got no response. And so it ultimately was not successful from the district's point of view at that time.
Thank you. The IBLA is not the final appeal that could be heard. Is that correct? If IBLA finds in the favor of Bessie, then the three oil companies that are legacy owners, they have another route of appeal after that?
That is my understanding of discussing with our legal counsel. I think they do have an opportunity to go to federal court if the ruling by IBLA is against them in favor of us.
So this could stretch on even further?
Pardon?
This could stretch on even further?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And you answered my is permit property question already. So thank you very much. That's all of the questions I have. With that, we've had the presentations, we've had the testimony witnesses, we've asked, all of us have asked questions. I will bring this back to the, oh, I will open public comment on this item.
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any speaker slips for this item.
Amazing. I will close public comment. I will bring this back to the board for discussion or plan forward.
Will you accept a motion? Are you ready to accept a motion to approve?
I will accept a motion.
I move the variance petition.
Do I have a second?
I just had some questions about, I mean, if we go ahead and approve the petition, we are also approving the variance findings by the district. Is that correct?
We will have to, if we want to approve this variance, we have to go through and make each finding. We can't just say variance is approved. We have to make each finding verbally.
Oh, understood. Understood. Okay. My question really related to some of the timing that the district had put into the conditions of the variance, which go beyond the fine. Our approval of the, if we approve the variance, we're also approving the district staff conditions. Is that correct?
Sorry. Yeah. Caitlin McNally with the district. So the documents are the hearing board documents, and so any changes that you want to make to them based on the testimony today would be reflected in the final documents that get signed. So that would be based on the discussion you have right now. It doesn't have to be as drafted already.
So, I mean, my question then, really as a question is how did you arrive at the timing for the progress that the petitioner is expected to make, which is the page 7 of 8 of the proposed draft variance?
So those timeframes were based on discussion with the petitioner on reasonable timeframes to achieve those increments of progress after the IBLA decision is made. And I believe, based on what I heard from Keith earlier, that that's based on industry standard. So it was based on information from the petitioner.
Okay. And the staff was content with that?
Yes.
That timing? And again, looking just and before the vote, so under the second finding, and this just got my craw somehow. There's, since neither petitioner nor the former leaseholders are owner or operator of the lease wells, and a well intervention program is not an obligation under the partial stay agreement, the petitioner cannot unilaterally tamper with these assets belonging to another entity. I don't know if that's legal language. This is clearly not an asset. It's a liability out there. I don't think it's a hot potato that nobody really wants to have. I don't know why it can't be tampered with under those circumstances. And the only reason that I mentioned that language, I mean, it offended me, frankly, was that it carried forward in the variance request just verbatim.
I think we'll be able to handle that as we make the findings, because we're going to have to modify the findings that are in the draft anyway.
Okay.
So do I have a second on the motion, and then we can, for the purpose of discussion?
Second.
So I have a motion and a second.
I'm sorry, Chair Dressler, can I get a little bit of clarification about the motion?
The motion is to approve the variance.
Approve the variance.
Okay. And we have a motion and a second for discussion. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to get to an agreement on the findings. This is where I think staff is going to have to be very careful in what we say here and take good notes, because the findings are probably going to come out a lot differently than they have been drafted. So the first finding is, without variance coverage, the petitioner will be in violation of the rules and regulations. And I think that we can make that finding because we heard a clear statement from the petitioner that this facility is in violation. Okay. The second finding here is due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would either result in A, an arbitrary or unreasonable taking of property, B, the practical closing and elimination of a lawful business. And we've had clarification from counsel that it's the permit itself is the potential property that could be taken. So I think that we can make that finding of the taking. And now all we have to do is agree on conditions beyond reasonable control. In the draft, there's a long discussion about the partial stay agreement, which I think can completely be taken out. I think the condition is that we need to be very clear that it is necessary to have a well rig on this platform in order to have a well intervention program necessary in order to repair the leaks from these wells, and that at the present time it is not physically feasible to locate a well rig on this platform. And it's as simple as that. They cannot physically put the equipment on the platform that would be required in order to effect the repairs necessary to come into compliance. And that's what's beyond the control of the petitioner. Whether or not the legacy owners would let them do it or pay for it is a secondary issue that could be solved. It's not beyond anybody's control. It's just a matter between parties that are in a legal dispute. The thing that's actually beyond the control is that the engineering of putting this rig on, and that's what's beyond the control. Do I have agreement here? Okay. The closing or taking without be a corresponding benefit, reducing air contaminants. I believe we can make that finding. I believe we've heard ample evidence that the in fact, if we did kick everybody off the platform, take the permit away and everything, the emissions would actually get worse. And that they've done everything that they can to reduce emissions, and so there wouldn't be any benefit. It's not like it would turn off emissions if the permit, you know, was suspended, or if we forced them all to stop work there. It would actually make it worse. So I agree with that, that we can make that finding. Can we make that finding? Good.
Excuse me, Chair Dressler, if you don't mind me just clarifying. So I understand the second finding would be revised from the draft. For the third finding, did you want a revision to the draft to reflect what you just said, or did you feel that that represented what you were?
I would take away the delay efforts, contractors, risk conducting repairs. I think we should add a statement in there that to make it clear that it is infeasible to immediately install a well rig.
In the third finding as well?
In the third, at the very end of the third one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The petitioner is considered curtailing operations, however, the facility is not operating and is pending platform decommissioning. I think it's curtailed. It's as curtailed as you're gonna get it. So I think we can make that finding. During the period of the variance is in effect, petitioner will reduce emissions, and all of that statement, I think we can make. They've already done that, and they're working in good faith. I think we can make that finding. Number five. Number six, the petitioner will conduct Rule 331 inspections. We've heard testimony to that effect just recently. So we can make that finding. So the implicit findings, I think that we can find that there's no nuisance going to be created by this. And here. Oh yes, the petitioner has already shown that they have moved forward with with alacrity, with compliance with all the other issues on the platform. So we can make that finding as well. All right, so we've addressed the findings. We have a motion and a second to approve the variance. Do I have any further discussion? Lori, please call the roll.
We can do all in favor if you'd like, or would you like a roll call?
I'd like a roll call.
Okay. Dr. Colomay?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. It's 10 after 11. I think we should, I think the next hearing will go much faster since we've had all our questions answered generally. Why don't we just charge on through and we'll get out of here by lunch.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Since I'm up in Santa Maria and this is a very important case, but it's much longer than any of our previous meetings have been. I do have commitments up in Santa Maria, so I will have to leave in about 15 or 20 minutes.
We will still have a quorum, so that will be fine.
Okay.
All right. So the next item on this case is E2. Will the clerk please read it into the record?
Case number 2021-05-M3, modification of final compliance date and conditions. To consider a petition for modification of regular variance from District Rules 331D, E, G1, and I, and 206, Part 70 permit to operate 9108-R4, conditions 9C2A, 9C2B1, 9C2B2, submitted on June 5th, 2023 for relief from fugitive hydrocarbon component emission limits, operational limits, leak and repair requirements. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hogan, located on offshore lease track OCS P166, approximately 8 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara.
All right, we'll now do the swearing in for this item. Please stand and raise your right hand. Should we wait?
Yeah, I'll stand. I'll take two of our attendees and jump out.
That's fine. All right. Same as last time, I'm going to deliver the oath, and then I'm going to ask each of you to affirm. Do you solemnly swear to affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And on the phone?
Danny Doe, I do.
Thank you. All right. At this time, I'll ask the petitioner to go over Platform Hogan.
Thank you, Chair Dressler. This is the Platform Hogan petition for variance on July 5, 2023. Starting off, there's a new picture of Hogan since the last variance hearing. Just a couple of things to note. Please note the clearing of all the decks on Platform Hogan. You'll notice the rubber tire crane on Hogan, which has since been removed, but that was there to remove the Unit 500 crane from the platform. You notice it's opposite the large Manitowoc crane on the right. So opposite that on the platform is the pedestal for the Unit 500 crane, which has since been removed, been refurbished in Louisiana, and has been since returned to Platform Houchin as the Unit 500 crane there. Pardon me. Whoops. Okay, so the first part of the discussion is on what responsible party, which we covered under the Houchin slides. So this is a duplicate of that, as the conditions are the same. I don't know that we need to run through all of these again, but happy to do another refresh if we would like. Essentially, the interest owners, Signal Hill, relinquished their leases in 2020. Bessie ordered the order recipients, or the previous lease holders, to decommission the wells, pipelines, platforms, facilities associated with the platform, based on their accrued obligation. In 2021, the order recipients appealed Bessie's orders to the IBLA, and since then the order recipients, primarily ConocoPhillips, has voluntarily performed certain monitoring and maintenance activities, refurbishments, repairs, and so on and forth on Platform Hogan to preserve the lease assets for decommissioning to protect human safety and environment. And again, for Platform Hogan, the legal liability for decommissioning remains undetermined, unresolved at this time. Next slide is on the partial stay agreement, which we've already discussed. Pardon me. That agreement between Bessie and the order recipients was to perform certain maintenance and monitoring activities to maintain the safety and environmental protection, not to decommission the platform. In cooperation with Bessie, the order recipients voluntarily initiated significant work and improvements to Platform Hogan to improve platform safety and environmental concerns, and a well intervention program to address the fugitive emissions is beyond the scope and obligation of the partial stay agreement. The prior lessees have since engaged Beacon West to perform ongoing maintenance and activities, repairs, and refurbishments on Platform Hogan. Okay, thank you. I think John's going to cover facility equipment status.
Morning, your board. John Garnett with Beacon West. I didn't introduce myself last time. Facility equipment status for Platform Hogan. Platform Hogan is currently shut down. All wells are shut in. It's not producing. The pipelines to shore are isolated. The Manitowoc or North Crane is in service and has been operating since 2021 for this platform. The procurement has been completed, and one additional portable crane has been purchased and is planned to arrive for installation on Platform Hogan later this year. I'll make the second crane. Installation of new potable water and marine sanitary systems is in progress. The fire water system repairs are ongoing. Well gauging program was completed to understand well pressures and repair wellhead fugitive leaks where safe to do so with the limited onboard equipment. The flare on Platform Hogan returned to service in September of 2022. Stack venting was eliminated at that time. Portable rubber tire crane was installed in May of 2022. And the south crane has been dismantled and removed for overhaul in June. You might recall that's the one that's now on Platform Houchen. And the Houchen existing crane will be sent over to Hogan after refurbishment. There's been significant platform decking, grading, and structural repairs completed. 8,000 square feet of deck plating has been installed. 2,400 linear feet of handrails have been installed, and 2,000 square feet of platform grading has been installed. 600,000 pounds or 272 tons of waste and recyclable material have been removed. The platform combustible gas detection system has been replaced. To date, approximately 14,000 Beacon West person hours of field and office staff have been conducted, and over 41,000 contractor hours have been performed since 2021. Just over a year ago on Platform Hogan, we implemented a monthly Method 21 fugitive emissions leak inspections to assess the concentrations of the leaks. To summarize again, the fugitive leaks are relatively insignificant. They are by definition emitted from small intended openings, from flanges, valves, threaded connections, etc. There's not a significant amount of mass emissions coming compared to a flare stack venting, which was done and opened up the entire well. The emissions are undetected by portable gas detection equipment, nor by olfactory senses of our operators on the platforms who walk the well bay all the time. And as we discussed earlier, the emissions from fugitive leaks, while we can determine what the concentrations are, the mass emissions amounts are not quantifiable. What we've done since our last hearing, your board, is we did a removal of well bay piping flow lines to remove fugitive emission components and improve safety, thereby reducing overall fugitive emissions. Ongoing monitoring and maintenance activities following improved status of Platform Hogan, we completed a structural evaluation for reinforcements to the unit crane pedestal for its imminent installation. We completed additional grading and handrail repairs on the plus 14 level, completed the removal and the replacement of fire water pump number one, completed the procurement of materials and engineering for structural reinforcement of the pipe deck for portable crane installation. That'll be the second crane. Second crane? Unit? When we removed some marine growth and performed underwater structural inspection of the platform jacket.
Okay, a few pictures just to demonstrate progress. This initial picture is actually from previous. You can see the four decking conditions in the right-hand corner.
Is your mic on?
There you Sorry go. About that. Thank you. Upper right-hand corner, just deck deterioration and deck unsafe conditions. Left-hand condition is condition of the well bay. Again, bottom left is conditions of the decking again. You can see the orange striping there, which is the UT surveys they do on the deck to determine if decks need to be replaced or not. Just conditions bottom center and to the left, just well grading, deck grading, handrails, and deck improvements that need to be made. This is previous on Hogan. So status since then, upper left-hand corner, decking has been, deck debris and whatnot has been removed, so clear decks. You can see the upper center again, the Hogan Unit 500 crane was removed, and the pedestal there has been cleaned up and protected from weather until return of that unit crane. Well bay flow line on the right-hand corner there, just stacked on the deck, have been removed from the well bay. Bottom right, picture of the well bay with materials been removed, and you can see the new bolting of the new flanges that have been installed to, again, reduce fugitive emissions and to make safe connections in the well bay. In the center of the pictures there is this new decking and handrails. Bottom center, the existing rig that's on the platform. The derrick has since been laid down, and all the tubing has been removed, which was a significant effort, making the platform more safe for everyone who's up in that area of the well, of the existing rig. And then the bottom left-hand corner is the old BOP, which has also been since dismantled and removed to open things up and remove unsafe conditions. Next slide, discussion about portable cranes. We mentioned those at the last variance hearing. And again, here just to demonstrate that ongoing activity and work has been happening off the platform to enable the installation of portable cranes both on Hogan and Houchin. So these pictures are the same pictures that you had on the Houchin presentation. But again, these portable cranes will be going both to Hogan and Houchin both to supplement additional cranes on both platforms. Current summary for Hogan, no venting of gas occurs on Hogan. The flare system has since been returned to service, and we continue to make repairs to fugitive emissions in the well bay as it's safe to do so. The only remaining compliance issue on Hogan is the fugitive emissions from the wellheads. The gauge program and well bay piping removal has since been completed and has improved that situation, reducing the fugitive emissions in the well bay. We still have some on the wellheads that are existing. Fugitive leaks in the well bay will not be addressed. Sorry, fugitive emissions on the wellheads will not be addressed until there can be a rig placed on the platform and a well intervention program conducted. That cannot be done until the IBLA appeal resolution. Crane installations are on track for Platform Hogan, so that should be done by the later this year. And we are continuing to make phase one and two level one repairs, again, handrails, decking, stairways, to improve safety as we go. That work is ongoing and will continue. Okay, John's going to walk through the findings.
I'm going to present you the explicit and implicit findings required to approve a variance. You see, this slide outlines the standard six explicit findings that are required to be made. The next slide is the implicit findings that are required to be made. Now we're going to go over our findings. Finding number one, the applicant is unable to comply with district rule. District rules, Rule 331, sections D, E, and I for general repair and compliance schedule. Our response, Beacon West confirms it's unable to comply with these permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the well fugitive leaks. The finding is the same for the permit conditions that reflect Rule 331, permit PTO 9108, conditions 9C2A, B1, and B2. Beacon West confirms it's unable to comply with these permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the well fugitive leaks. Finding number two, noncompliance due to the conditions beyond the applicant's reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in an unreasonable taking of the property or closing a business. Our response, neither the petitioner nor the former holders of the OCS lease P166 is the current owner or operator of the platforms. Fugitive emissions from the wells in Well Bay were pre-existing conditions when the petitioner assumed monitoring and maintenance activities after Signal Hill and Pacific Offshore operators abandoned the platforms and relinquished the lease. No safe repair can be attempted of the offshore wells to mitigate fugitive emissions without a comprehensive well intervention program. Well intervention involves intrusive access and operation of a well and its related equipment. Well intervention is not part of the terms of the partial stay agreement that the petitioner is currently performing for the former leaseholders. Since neither the petitioner nor the former leaseholders are the owner or operator of the lease wells, and a well intervention program is not an obligation under the partial stay agreement, the petitioner cannot unilaterally tamper with these assets belonging to another entity. The petitioner is not the owner operator. There's no basis for a taking of the property. The facility is already closed from a practical standpoint since it was abandoned by the previous owner and operator. Finding number three, such taking is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. A response, platform is no longer producing. All wells are shut in pending well plug and abandonment. A taking would result in further deterioration of the platform, potentially increasing air pollution impacts and safety risks. This unreasonable taking would have absolutely zero air pollution benefit. And without continued variance coverage, the petitioner would be forced to cease all maintenance and refurbishment activities, increasing the risk to safety and the environment. Finding number four, the applicant has considered curtailing operations in lieu of a variance. Our response. Curtailing operations is not applicable in this instance as the facility is permanently shut down and will not resume production. Source operations and equipment have been permanently taken out of service or curtailed to the extent possible. The order recipients have taken the proactive lead at the request of Bessie and contracted Beacon West to initiate significant work to improve safety and environmental risks by performing ongoing maintenance, repairs, and refurbishments to the structure during 2023, as reported in our monthly variance updates. All ongoing activities would be necessary as a precursor for any safe well plug and abandonment activities, and curtailing ongoing activities would have no air pollution benefit. The partial stay agreement does not oblige the current leaseholders to undertake any well intervention work. Finding number five, the applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Our response. During the period the variance is in effect, emissions will continue to be reduced to the maximum extent feasible by removing, repairing, or replacing equipment as appropriate. The former leaseholders and their contractors have invested extensive resources into the maintenance and restoration of the Hogan facilities under this agreement, including the repair, replacement, and upkeep of equipment designed to ensure safety and controls to minimize emissions. Although minor fugitive emissions remain, repairs in the well bay or on the wellheads themselves without a suitable well rig on site for an intervention has significant risks and would violate industry safety practices. Finding number six, applicant will monitor and report emissions. Monitoring and maintenance activities will continue to address compliance with district permitting procedures. Quarterly method 21 monitoring has been in effect for over the last year and will continue to determine the concentrations for fugitive leaks. And as always, permitted emissions will continue to be reported semi-annually as required by PTO 9108. The implicit findings, number one, monitoring and maintenance activity under the variance are not a nuisance. Our response. Cessation of oil and gas production, limited equipment operation, and remote offshore location ensures there's no nuisance potential. Number two, other requirements to progress expeditious compliance with emission standards or increments of progress. Our response. The former leaseholders and their contractors have invested and continue to invest extensive resources into the maintenance and restoration of the Hogan facilities under the partial stay agreement, including repair, replacement, and upkeep of equipment designed to control and minimize emissions. We've an understanding of the increments of progress are the requirement to identify well rigs necessary for fugitive leak repair within 6 months of final resolution of the IBALA appeal process, to conform complete platform deck alterations necessary for the well rig within 18 months of final resolution of the IBLA process. To begin well bay fugitive leak repairs within 20 months of final resolution of the IBLA process. And to complete 100% of the well bay fugitive leak repairs within 38 months of final resolution of the IBLA appeal process. That concludes our presentation.
Chair Dressler and the board, I'd like to request at this point that Mr. Hessen from BSEE speak.
Mr. Chairman, the statement I gave for the prior petition is almost identical to the June 5th submittal, the letter that I submitted. So for the sake of brevity, if you'd like for me to repeat my prior statement, I'm more than glad to do so. But if that June 5th submittal satisfies serves as my statement for this petition, would you please accept that?
Will of the board? That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Questions of the petitioner? Go ahead.
I'm just curious, the facility and equipment status on Hogan here seems almost double the 8,000 square feet of decking versus 3,500. 50% more tonnage taken off. You speak to that? What caused you to be so much more productive on Hogan?
Yes, Mr. Peters. The work on Hogan started much sooner than Houchin, primarily due to the one crane being available for servicing that. So that's essentially the explanation. And we just recently started on platform Houchin. So the work is continuing there. So we're about halfway done, you might say.
Okay. Thank you.
Technical question first. Both these platforms still have cathodic protection. Is that correct?
Yes, cathodic protection on both platforms was addressed early on.
Thank you. Once again, similar to my other question, is it necessary to have a well rig located on this platform in order to do the repairs required to bring the wellheads in compliance with Rule 331?
Yes.
Is it feasible, physically, engineering-wise feasible, to locate a well rig on the platform at this time?
No.
Thank you. Any further questions by any members of the board?
Not a question, just a comment. I mean, looking at the picture of where you are with Hogan today, I do remember the first pictures of hanging rails and holes in the decking. This is phenomenal progress.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. With no further questions, I will open public comment on this issue.
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any speaker slips for comments on this item.
Then I will close public comment. I'll bring this back to the board for further discussion or a motion.
I just have one question for the staff.
Yes.
Okay. So for the staff, similar to the previous question, so essentially with this request, and it sounds like there are no concentration level issues with this either, so this is just primarily equipment on this one?
My understanding is that there are fugitive leaks on this platform as well, with concentrations exceeding the roll limits, but can Beacon West confirm that?
That's correct.
Okay, great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Will of the board.
May I move the variance?
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. So for our discussion, we'll go down the findings. Is that acceptable to the board? All right. Without variant coverage, the petitioner will be in violation of Rules 331 and the applicable permit conditions. I think we can make that finding. We have heard testimony to that effect. Due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in either an arbitrary and unreasonable taking of property, and we can make that finding, and or a practical closing or elimination of a lawful business. We can make the unreasonable taking of property. That's all we need to make there. Regarding conditions beyond reasonable control, I think that the language in the draft should be changed simply to say that it is absolutely necessary to have a well rig located on the platform in order to have well intervention capabilities if there's when they go to repair these wellheads, and it is currently physically infeasible to locate a well rig on the platform. The closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit to reducing air contaminants. I think that's true. We've heard adequate testimony that all measures are being taken to reduce air pollution to the greatest extent feasible. The platform is shut down. There's no operations, no petroleum production happening. The petitioner's curtailing operations is considered curtailing operations. The entire platform is curtailed. So the petitioner has done that. During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. We have heard testimony that they are currently in the process of doing that. The petitioner will conduct Rule 331 inspections on fugitive leaks on a quarterly basis using Method 21, Condition Number 6. We have heard testimony to that effect as well. So I think we can make all those six findings, as well as the implicit findings that there is no potential for there to be a public nuisance associated with this variance, and also that the petitioner will continue their ongoing process of conducting repairs and maintenance on this platform as they have been doing. Am I in agreement? Do I have the board's agreement with all this? Okay, so do I have any questions from staff regarding how the findings should be written? All right, then I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
No.
Please call the roll, Lori.
Dr. Colme?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. All right. With that, there are no other items on this agenda. So if there's no other business before this board, I will adjourn this meeting.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, board.